My guest, Dan Walters, syndicated columnist. You can find him at calmatters.org. He wrote a piece November 21st, 2025. A spate of new studies gives the lowdown on California sky-high living costs. First of all, did you write that headline, the lowdown on sky-high? Very clever.
No, I always file a suggested headline, but it's rarely adopted by the editor. That was fashioned by the copy editor who handled the column.
Well, we'll give
it was a good headline. I'm glad they did it.
Yes, we got to give them credit on that one. So what does this column, what did you have to say?
Well, I'm saying that if you look at all sorts of data from recent studies, it confirms what everybody kind of knows already. It's extremely expensive to experience life in California, no matter where you look, whether it's housing prices or gasoline or just about anything is more expensive in California than it is someplace else. So there is a price to be paid for the wonders of living in California, which I'm sure many people can justify because it's a pleasant place to live, at least parts of it are. But I think we always have to keep in mind that California has a huge population of poor people. How poor? How big? Roughly a third, 35%, maybe as much as 40% of Californians are either in poverty or in near poverty, according to the studies, meaning that they don't really make enough money to cover the cost of living well enough. We have the highest poverty rate of any state, the highest poverty rate of any state. And when you put the near poor into that, it gets up to around 35 or 40% of Californians. So they are the ones who are really bearing the burden of trying to make it through the day in California and pay their rent and buy the gasoline and do all the other things that you need to do to live in a modern, industrial life. And it's palpable and it's getting worse. Our cost of living has skyrocketed like everybody else's in the country, except we operate on a higher base. So a 5% increase in living costs in California represents a lot more money than 5% living cost raise in, say, West Virginia or someplace like that. So when it gets to dollar terms, it is expensive. I mean, there are places in California where you can make six-figure income and still be classified as poor in functional terms and in terms of having to pay rent or whatever. And that's pretty remarkable when you think about it. I'm always flabbergasted why more people don't leave California. During the Depression, but even after the Depression, during World War II and after World War II, there was a huge migration to California from people from other states saying, hey, this is the land of opportunity. We want to get there and prosper. And you would think, given the high cost of living in California, you would see a bigger reverse migration than we do see. We do see migration out of California, don't get me wrong, that's substantial. But you would think it would be even worse. If you can't make it in here, why not go someplace else where it's cheaper to live? And it's one of the enduring mysteries to me why we don't have more people, particularly poorer people, people low income people, moving out of the state to someplace they could do better. And I could offer all sorts of opinions as to why that's true, but it is nevertheless true. Even though we are losing people in other states, it's not a huge migration that one might think would happen.
Right. People sacrifice to live in California. I mean, there's all different parts of California, but of course the Southern California near the coast, the weather, the mountains, it's beautiful. So I don't know. And then there's inertia. You know, if your families have lived here, you're kind of hanging on. I know some people have moved out of Santa Barbara and found another place in California where they could buy a home because it was, more reasonable. And here we are in Santa Barbara. building this high density housing, and right near where I live, just thousands of units, and right in one spot, they're building what's equivalent to 23% of what's required to build by 2030. And they're putting it all in one spot, and it's going to be just a nightmare. And something similar is happening at La Cumbre Plaza, where the traffic is already a nightmare. So you know what? Maybe if they get away with all this building and density, maybe that'll maybe that'll encourage people to move, because they'll get
or the other way, it might be encourage people to move in since they can afford to live there. And there is one project that was proposed in downtown Santa Barbara that got blocked by an obscure passage in a state budget trailer bill. Put in there by local legislator.
Lamone.
Yeah, put in a provision in the a pro housing bill to make housing easier. A couple of passages that basically make it easier to block this one project in downtown Santa Barbara.
There you're talking, and the project near the Santa Barbara Mission, 8 stories, was alive only because he was using what's called the builder's remedy.
Builder's remedy, yeah.
And I can't figure out, how do you have a bunch of intelligent people, either on a city council, in this case, city council, who were threatened with this axe, this guillotine of a builder's remedy, if they didn't come in on time with their housing, whatever you call it. And they missed the deadline, knowing that if they missed the deadline, they would have to face issues like the builder's remedy.
Nobody ever said politics was a rational business, after all,
right? I mean, and will voters hold people accountable and vote these people out because they didn't get the housing element, I think it might be called?
Well, the flip side, people get local officials get voted out if they do comply with the state thing. You know, that's happening around the state too. Oh, it's a tough place to be in, to be on a city council of California these days. And you have this whole deluge of what you got called pro housing laws come rolling down, and you try to deal with the state pressure at the same time you're dealing with the local sentiment against these housing projects. It's a grinder. It is a real grinder. There's no way to win. It's a lose-lose situation for local officials.
This builder's remedy is a joke. It's insane. The municipalities have now done their housing element, and they're paying the price because they were a day late and a dollar short.
That law has been on the books for a long time. That's not a new law. It was just never was employed before.
That's
been on the books for many, many years. But since the underlying mechanism of what they call the housing element in the local general plan was never enforced. They were supposed to do all these things since like the 1970s, and they didn't do them, and the state never enforced them, and suddenly the state is enforcing those rules, and suddenly the builder's remedy, which has been on the books all this time, is being evoked. It's not a new law. It's an old law, but it's just now getting to be used.
Well, what would it take? My guest, Dan Walters, syndicated columnist, find him at calmatters.org, calmatters.org. What would it take to do away with this builder's remedy? Because without the builder's remedy, there's plenty of building being done. The state wants more building. It's getting done. But this builder's remedy to put up an 8-story building near the Santa Barbara Mission, what would it take to get rid of that law?
Yeah, the legislature would have to pass it, or you'd have to have a ballot measure, an initiative measure to change the law. It's a statute law. It's not in the Constitution. So it could be changed by the legislature or by a ballot measure.
Well,
it ain't going to be changed. You know, it just ain't. And if anything, it's that pressure from the state is going to become more intense as time goes on. Unless the housing construction target is downgraded because the state's population is not growing anymore, that pressure will continue to be faced. And the pressure is to build 180,000 units a year, which is about twice as many as the state has been building in recent years. And as long as there is a difference between the quota and the reality, there's going to be a lot of pressure on local governments to change their attitude towards development.
I got to get a hold of Joni Mitchell so she can rewrite her song, Pave Paradise and Put Up a Parking Lot, to Pave Paradise and Put Up a 8-story building, apartment building. It's just crazy. Last week, I interviewed CEO, president of Berkshire Hathaway, New York City, and he was talking about the rental. The real estate market there is predominantly rentals, and the median price or the average price, I can't remember what he said, was like $4,000 a month. And of course, you have so much density, but it didn't bring the price down. So I think they build all these properties here in Santa Barbara. I don't know if it's going to reduce the prices.
I don't know. I don't know either. I mean, the theory is the more you build, the less there is, reduces the pressure on the price side, the cost side. But the other factor in all of this, and that's a whole other topic, which I'm going to write about soon, building housing in California is absolutely insane. And that's one of the reasons why it's difficult, almost impossible to build housing for low income or moderate income renters, because the cost of doing so is huge. A so-called affordable housing costs a minimum of $500,000 a unit to build, and as max, and it goes over $1 million in some localities to build a small apartment for low-income people. So the cost of it is humongous.
Well, you know what, Dan Walters, we kind of ended the program the way we began the program, because we were talking about how expensive California is and the number of people that are near the poverty level. And so it begins and ends on the same note. Dan Walters, calmatters.org, a journalist for over 63 years. That's kind of old. Is it still that?
65 right now.
Oh, I got to change my introduction. 65 years. Dan Walters, calmatters.org. Thanks so much for your time. Love talking
You're
to
welcome.
You. Okay. Take care. Take
See
care.
You again, Mark. Bye-bye.
Thanks a million. The Dan Walters, God, you just can't imagine that he's just got all this in his head. You can ask him anything on any topic. When I saw him at the UCSB Economic Forecast 20 plus years ago, everyone else comes up on stage with slides and presentations and notes, and he walked up there with nothing in his hand, no index cards, nothing. You're listening to Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, radiorealestate.com. We'll take a quick break, come back with the weekly multiple listing sales update.